Stupidity has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Hey, it's Stu. Thanks for listening to the biggest podcast in the world. We're bigger than Oprah. How about that? Bigger than Oprah. The Big O. Do me a favor and subscribe so that you can get episodes as soon as they are posted. Rate 5 stars only. And leave a review. Don't do it for me. Do it for Mikey C. Before we get to today's episode, I want to tell you about another phenomenal ESPN podcast, Marty Smith's America. This week, Marty will talk to me unless I can figure out an excuse to get out of it. How about that? What happened last week? Was it me, Reese, or nobody?
I think it was nobody.
You had nobody, huh? Reese bailed on him, too?
I know.
Jeez. Should I do it tomorrow or what?
I don't know. It's up to you.
He keeps asking me. You can download and subscribe to Marty Smith's America, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts' influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world. Good afternoon, Daniel.
Afternoon, John.
What happened there?
I'm not sure. It's weird.
Right.
Nobody calls you John.
My mom called me Jonathan when she's super pissed at me. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's like whenever the parents are mad. Did she ever throw in the middle name?
Jonathan Bryan?
Yeah, yeah. That's how you know your parents are mad. I got a few Daniel Brady's in my day.
Daniel Brady Stanzik?
Oh, yeah.
Your parents named you after Tommy, huh?
No, not so much.
Levitard?
I don't think I was named after anybody. Were you?
John,
is there like an uncle? An uncle? A grandfather?
I don't think I was named that. I mean, my uncle's name was John, but my parents certainly didn't name me after my uncle.
Do you take credit for it? If anybody, like, let's say you have a niece or a nephew or something, or somebody you know names their kid John, do you claim that it was named after you?
Yes. Of course I did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean,
Daniel Jones was named after you.
That's right. I got a buddy who named his kid Danny, and I'm like, that's my guy. Named him after me. So happy.
Does he give you odd looks? Like, whatever.
No,
you do that?
No. He's,
and you make the same joke every time, right?
He's all for it. His wife, not so much. What made you do the J-O-N instead of the H? Do you get a pick in that? Or is John? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you get a pick, don't you?
The way I understand it is the J-O-N is Jewish. More Jews will go with J-O-N, and J-O-H-N is
for
non-Jews.
The Gentiles?
Yeah, do we need to look this up?
You might have to. Didn't know we were bringing religion into this.
What do I type into Google?
I'm not sure.
Why are some Johns spelt without an H?
Jewish Johns?
Okay, let's
that might
that.
Bring up a weird website. Be careful.
Hold on. I got to go to Google, the Google machine. I mean, I am getting old. This is terrible. Jewish Johns.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Oh, man.
It came up Jewish Jobs.
Okay.
Not what I was looking for.
I could make a few jokes, but I'm not Jewish.
Go ahead.
Accountant?
That came up.
Lawyer? Doctor?
All of them came up.
Yeah. What else?
Wall Street. Just Wall Street
Wall
came
Street.
Up.
Wall Street. Oh, yeah. I should have known.
A picture of Wall Street came up.
All of Long Island?
Hold on. Let me yell out to Abby. Abby! She's our Jew authority.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. Bring in Abby for our Jewish knowledge update.
Abby, do you know why some Johns are spelt with an N and some are spelt with an H? Is it a Jewish thing?
No, an H. You gotta say an H.
J-O-H-N? It's not a Jewish thing?
Yeah, I don't know why, though.
It is a Jewish thing.
I mean, it doesn't mean it's
Like, do we know a John that's Jewish that spells their name with an H?
No, she says no. I have an appearance by Abby on the podcast.
Wow. Have her call the rabbi. I need some backup.
I can get a rabbi on. You want a rabbi on?
Not really, but I would like to know the answer. I mean, Abby, back of the pod. Very surprising.
But how about that? I mean, you got her back. Yeah. First time she's been on since Kenny G. Sachs were in her face.
Whoa.
What happened?
Our Jewish authority, Abby Wiener.
Actually, Kenny G.'s a Jew. We should call him.
Call him.
Let me see if he's available.
See if he was, see if he was jealous with put Kenny Chesney on.
Let me ask him.
Okay.
I'm texting Kenny G as we speak. I'm going to see if he can come on or if he has an explanation. He's probably mad that we had Kenny Chesney on before we had Kenny G on. You think he's mad?
Definitely.
Speaking of Jews, Evan Cohen is going to be our guest today.
Very thematic episode.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I'm texting Kenny G right now. Jewish Johns. I'm continuing to go down that as I wait. I just assume everyone's at the ready for me. But they're not. Why? I think the better way to do it is, why are some Johns spelt without an H? Why is Jon Snow's name not spelled with an H?
I saw that one too. I skipped over that. This website.
I'm going to do famous Jews named John.
Okay.
Let's see what comes up here.
Are you the most famous Jew that's named John?
I think so. What? Oh, Abby knows why.
Jonathan is John, J-O-N.
Oh, so if your name Jonathan, right, Stanzik? This is what Abby's saying. It is shortened to J-O-N.
Yeah, if your name Jonathan, a lot of Johns are Jonathan.
So a lot of Johns are not Jonathan.
The ones with the H, their given name is John with the H. Their given name is not Jonathan.
Their given name is John, not Jonathan, yes. It has nothing to do with religion?
Well, a John actually could be like the Hebrew name for Jonathan, like a third name, and then the Hebrew name for John and Jonathan are different names.
I mean, are you picking all this up, Stanzik? Listen, no. She is back on the podcast. Listen, it's very faint, and she is very far away. She's not even in the same room. Did you pick up any of that?
Not really.
I don't think it has anything to do with being a Jew.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. Famous Johns?
Famous Johns. I mean, yeah. Lennon?
Lennon is certainly up there. Travolta has to be up there.
Yeah.
Tommy John? The surgery. What do you mean?
I guess, yeah.
John Oliver, how about that?
John McCain.
Wow, that's a good one. They're all spelled J-O-H-N. By the way, John Goodman, I think he's Jewish, spelled John Goodman, J-O-H-N.
Ooh, kind of.
Believe he's Jewish.
Defeat your theory.
Check on that?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, let me check on that. John Goodman.
John Jewish. Elway?
Elway is, are you putting him in the top 10?
I don't know about top 10. I mean, JFK.
JFK, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. List of Jewish actors. Here we go. Apatow.
It's Judd.
Yeah, I know.
What?
I didn't know he was Jewish. It was surprising. I blurted it out. What do you want from me? Hold on a second.
I'm waiting for you to say Richard Gere and Pretty Woman.
Rock group. Oh, God. Hold on a second. Born in the 80s. Hold on a second. What am I doing here?
Born in the 80s. What are you doing?
I don't know where I am. I've lost track of everything. All I'm asking is if John Goodman is Jewish. I don't know if he is. I think he is.
John Hamm?
John Hamm's a good one. You think John Hamm is in the top 10 most famous Johns ever?
No, definitely not.
Famous Johns.
John Stewart. Elton John.
John Stewart's certainly in there. Elton John is certainly in there. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
John Cena?
Cena.
Really?
Wrestler, yeah.
Huh?
Wrestler turned actor, yeah. John Mayer.
Oh, Mayer, certainly.
He's not top 10 all time. Johnny Depp.
John Turturro?
Yep, actor, great.
You would put him in the top 10?
No.
You would put Malkovich?
No.
John Oliver?
Also no.
Really?
Top 10?
John Candy?
Top 10 Johns all time.
Top 10 Johns all time.
The only one I agree with you so far is JFK is in.
John F. Kennedy is in.
That's one. We got nine other slots.
We have nine other slots. You're not putting any of those people in?
No.
Really?
Yeah, none of them.
Travolta.
He's on the fringes, but I don't feel good about it. John Lennon is in. We got two.
All right, so John Lennon
and JFK. We got two. We got eight more open spots for Johns.
I think, okay, hold
John
on.
John Adams was the second president.
He was?
He's more famous than any of the Johns you've named.
Really?
Yeah.
How about John Wayne? Boom.
He's ahead of all the other people you had, too.
Thank you. Well, listen, this is the key to a top 10 is when I say a name or you say a name, you don't have to think about it, right?
Right,
you just know it belongs, right? So we know Lennon belongs. We know JFK belongs, and we certainly know John Wayne. He belongs, right?
Where are we on Pope John Paul II?
Huh.
Because these popes also pick their pope name, so I don't know if his actual name was John. I don't think it was. We can disqualify him.
I feel like, are all popes named John?
No.
Okay. I'm definitely not Jewish.
It's been established. John Steinbeck, the author?
Oh, that's a good one. We're not putting Elway there. John Stewart, I feel like, is deserving. I feel like John Wayne Gacy should be in there. No? John Denver?
I don't know.
Huh. John Stamos? No?
Different episode.
John McClane.
Oh, Die Hard. I see what you did.
No, John McClane.
Wasn't that his name? Wasn't that Bruce Willis's name in Die Hard? John McClane?
John Bon Jovi, ooh, Abby just said from the fringes. Yeah, how about John Havlicek? Hondo. John Ritter. John McClane. I'm talking about the former senator. Yeah, he passed away.
John McCain.
What did I say?
McClane.
Oh, yeah. <Stupidity. laughs> I put McClane ahead of McCain. Too soon?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
How about John Kerry? No.
How about well, it was a quick no.
I'm not putting Kerry in the top 10. I mean, Favreau?
No.
Okay.
Are you writing these down?
Yeah, no. John Lennon, John Legend. John Stockton.
Oh.
Really?
I like Stockton. He's not in the top 10. I mean, Elway's probably our number one athlete.
John Cusack.
Actor, yeah, on the fringes. He's probably in the top 20. I don't think he's in the top 10.
John Voight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in.
Cusack might be further down now. You know, I don't
Jonathan
think so.
Ogden.
John Bones Jones.
Really?
Yeah, well, I'm not proclaiming him as a top 10 John of all time. That's lofty praise, but he's a famous John.
How about John Sammons? Athletes that can out of fish.
Marty Fish.
Greg Norman.
Shark.
And of course, Bill Barracuda.
Wow. I don't even know who that is. Mike Trout.
Oh, Trouty. Have we done Kendall Gill?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Billy Ocean.
Oh, man.
I am on fire
you
today.
You are. Dennis Rodman, the worm.
Oh, wow. Wow. Is there anyone named Hook?
Or Bait? Tackle Box?
There has to be someone named Bates. Bill Bates. Boom. Cowboys safety. Bill Bates.
I think Kendall Gill's my favorite one so far.
That was pretty good, right?
Anyone named Sonny, I guess, would count.
Are we off the Johns now?
I think so.
John Hancock.
Oh, yes. Top 10 John.
We're just going to bounce back and forth.
We are back with John Hancock.
Yes. Is that an athlete that connotes a pen? Who is that? Who's John Hancock?
He was the one that signed the Declaration of Independence ostentatiously.
Oh, really? So that's why they say put your John Hancock
on it. That's correct.
Huh?
You know, everyone's a little nervous about putting their name to it, and he went out there and signed it enormously.
I'm a little nervous about saying Hancock. Stupidity. John Starks?
Definitely nowhere near the top 30.
Wait, do you want to separate this and just do athletes named John?
Maybe we should.
All right, let's try that real quick. Okay. So famous athletes. Are we done with the fish game?
No, never done with the fish game.
All right, so just keep thinking about it. Athletes that connote fish. What a dumb. We'll get to that.
I know.
we'll get to Cohen in a second.
I'm trying to do Ernie L's for eels, and it's not working too well for me.
It's so close.
I know. It feels like it should work, but it doesn't.
It's so close. I think L's is enough, though.
Yeah, you'd think.
Ernie Eels.
Oh, Bill Parcells, the big tuna.
Ah, the tuna, man. Top 10 athletes named John. Hold on.
We got Elway, Stockton.
Wait, did you just do tuna?
Yeah, the big tuna.
Man, that
Parcells.
I'm so upset with myself.
Yeah.
Athletes, my mind, you could hear it working, right?
Oh, yeah. You just gotta, it's hard to think of other fish.
Oh, is that what you're looking
at? Jeff Conine, Mr. Marlin.
Oh, wow. Everyone's doing the fish.
Yeah. Is he Mr. Marlin? Is that a thing?
Jeff Conine was Mr. Marlin.
He was, okay. He, like, symbolized the franchise. He was there for forever.
Who, Conine?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the beautiful thing about Jeff Conine, Mr. Marlin. He played 4 years for the Marlins.
I could have sworn he was there from, like, 93 to 2010.
He played for the Royals, then the Marlins, then back to the Royals, then the Orioles, then the Marlins again, 03 to 05, then the Orioles, Phillies, Reds, and Mets. So Mr. Marlin played for 8 teams. I mean,
Mr. Marlin.
We have a shitty history now.
I know.
I mean, how's Conine, Mr. Marlin?
Wow.
I guess a 4-year stint with the Marlins is as long as anyone else.
That'll do it.
Mr. Marlin. I mean, Jesus Christ. One, hold on. So Royals, Marlins, Orioles, that's 3 teams.
Matt,
he played with the Orioles twice, the Marlins twice, and the Royals twice. No one could decide if they wanted him or not.
I mean, utility guy, though. He could play all over.
Then Phillies, Reds, and Mets. So he did. He played for 6 total teams, Marlins for 4 years, and then... So he played a total of 6 years for the Marlins, Mr. Marlin.
Mr. Marlin.
What do you think his numbers were during those years?
He probably hit like 280. About 20 homers a year, 90 ribbies.
He's a professional hitter, right?
Oh, sure was.
Yes, he was.
What's his career average?
I'm checking it right now. I love Conine, by the way.
Yeah, me
too.
He's
the best. He is such a good dude.
Get him on.
Get him on the podcast. Conine, hold on a second.
I'm going 280.
All right, hold on. Good. You're going 280. That's where you're setting the over.
Too
under?
High?
No, I think he went over.
Okay.
I'll tell you in 1 second. Jeff Conine was a career. Ooh, what'd you say?
280.
285.
Wow.
How about that?
Conine.
Famous Jeff's. No, I'm joking.
Garland? Bridges?
So Conine, let's see. His first stint with the Marlins, 12 homers, 79 RBIs, 1882, 25-105,
yeah.
And then 26-95.
I had him at about 2090. That's pretty accurate.
So, yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
I know my Jeff Conine history.
But should he be Mr. Marlin?
Absolutely.
He should be.
Who else? Edgar Renteria, Charles Johnson.
Gary Sheffield.
Sheffield, yeah.
Sheff.
Yeah.
Kevin Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
Antonio Alfonseca.
That's a good one. It wasn't Alex Fernandez, like their ace from the get-go.
Yeah, they brought Alex Fernandez into the Marlins because they thought it would boost attendance, having, like, you know, Cuban American.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then
didn't work.
They figured the stadium would be packed for his starts. And so they did attendance by starting pitchers for the Marlins that year. And his was the worst.
Ooh. Talk about your all-time backfires.
Yeah, get him on. And get on whoever's idea that was. And fire him. I mean, they've probably been fired. So then Niner came back. Niner, by the way. How about that? He came back in 03, 238. He wasn't nearly the player he was when he left, Stancic. 238, 5 homers, 15 RBIs. Bounce back with a 280, 14 homers, 83 RBIs. When you said 280, that's how you imagine every year, right?
Oh, yeah.
280, 14, 83, right?
Yeah, just about.
That is correct.
I think I gave him 20-ish home runs because he played in the 90s.
Right, and also athletes that connote the San Francisco 49ers. Terrible.
How'd we get there?
Niner.
Oh. Wasn't he 19 for a while, a hot minute?
Who, Conine?
Yeah.
Wasn't he what?
Wasn't he number 19 for a while?
Yeah, he was.
Oh. Then why do you call him Niner?
Konine. Niner.
Oh,
that was one of his nicknames.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
When you didn't call Mr. Marlin, you call him Niner.
I'll play off the last name. I should have known.
You get that? You thought it was the number 19?
Yeah. I don't know why
it's
I knew
to you.
I don't know why I knew what number Jeff Konine wore.
Very odd, but
yeah, pulled
you
that
have
one
a
out
weird
of
weird recessive.
And it's scary sometimes. I'm still trying to think of an athlete named Flounder, and I got nothing. I'm floundering.
Flounder from Animal House.
Yeah.
94-95 All-Star for Mr. Marlin and two-time world champion 97-03. I guess, yeah, he was on both World Series.
I think
teams.
That's why he's Mr. Marlin. That's
probably
the connection point.
Yeah, are you back to fish now?
I've been trying to get back there, and I haven't been able to.
Who are you? What's the...
I needed a flounder. I couldn't get one. I can't think of any other fish.
So you need types of fish? Just to jar, just
yeah.
jolt you a little bit?
Yeah.
Hold on. Oh, I got you. I mean, you're not going to beat Kendall Gill. Good luck.
No, Kendall Gill's the fish to beat.
All right,
even though it's a body
fishes.
Part on a fish.
All right. A guppy?
I got nothing there.
An angler?
Kurt Angle.
Me.
Yeah. Always.
Mahi-mahi?
Ooh.
Bluefish?
No, it's not doing anything for me.
Turbot?
That's a fish?
It is.
Hmm.
Swordfish?
Nope.
Really? A swordfish?
Yeah, what athlete has the last name Sword?
That's a great point by you.
Yeah, I think we move on quickly from that.
How about shrimp?
I was thinking shrimp. Jose Altuve? Bad joke!
But I laugh.
Yeah. Consider the audience.
Tim Salmon!
Oh, Tim Salmon.
Tim
wow.
Salmon. Boom. You're so mad. You are so
man.
Pissed off right now.
Oh, you I should have had that.
You
oh.
are so upset. I'll give you $1 million if you know what number Tim Salmon wore.
47?
I think you're right, and that bet was not binding. If he wore 47, I'm going to
I think he
you.
Wore in the 40s. He had a weird one.
Hold on a second. Tim Salmon. If he wore
Tim
47.
Salmon. What a name. That, might be 45.
You? Hold on. You're very upset about Tim Salmon, aren't you?
I wish I had that one.
His number was 15. You owe me $1 million. It's binding.
Not even close.
How about that? I just want
$1 million.
I am so sick.
Oh, wow. Salmon was a good one, though.
Are you really mad?
Yeah, should have had that.
Where were we?
Evan Cohen.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to have Evan Cohen on because we had Mad Dog on a few weeks ago. Evan Cohen does the morning show for Christopher Mad Dog Russo's station on Sirius XM. And I was Evan Cohen's camp counselor. So, I mean,
yeah, it's quite a connection.
I think the only reason we're having him on, besides the fact that he's very talented and I like him a lot, is because you want to hear stories of me as a camp counselor. Is that fair?
I think the only reason we're having him on is because this was the break glass in case of emergency episode. We taped this at the Super Bowl, as you'll hear. But yes, I was very interested to find out what kind of camp counselor you were.
Okay. Ron Say, the penguin. How about an otter? You got an otter?
No.
Okay.
A sea otter. Yeah, that's right. I got no.
Otto Porter Jr.
Ooh. Well done by you.
I'm kicking your ass.
Well done. I know. Ever since Tim Salmon, I've been rattled.
Yeah. Listen, this is not fair to do to Evan Cohen because you and I know that this interview, this conversation is a very, very good one. And yet you're saying it's the break glass in case of emergency segment. We taped this during Super Bowl week.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think we have to be honest about that.
Right. Because Evan Cohen is peppering me like, "Hey, you're never going to run this, are you?" And I'm like, "We're trying to delay it." I mean, and he goes, "Till when?" And I go, "Till never."
Until you take a week off, which happens to be this week. And I say this week, not knowing which week it actually is.
I don't even know where we are.
Penguins.
For some reason, I have top 10 Franks. Did we stumble upon that somewhere along the way?
I don't think we're on Franks, but we can do it if you want.
Top 10 Franks?
Yeah, Sinatra.
Ooh, wow. I mean, you went. Famous Franks?
Yeah, I think he's
Bubba
top.
Bubba Franks.
Yeah.
Nope. Famous Frank Perdue. He's got to be in there. Frank Zappa.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Frank Lloyd Wright. Frank Zappa.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, no one is going at it. Listen, no one is running to Canton at a slower pace than Frank Gore.
Do you think 3 yards
at a time. I mean,
do you think that's the joke you've used the most in your broadcast career?
Probably. The Frank Gore joke?
Yeah.
What, 3 yards at a time?
Yeah, because you can't, you know how you have that instinct to say a nickname as soon as you hear a name?
Yeah.
I think every time you hear the name or say the name Frank Gore, you go right to the slow to Canton joke. It's a reflex for you.
I think you're right, because he doesn't have a nickname.
Yeah.
Does he?
I don't think so.
Like Frank Thomas, Big Hurt.
The Big Hurt, yeah. Randy Johnson, the big unit. Frank Gore, slowest to Canton ever, 3 yards at a time.
Let's see if Gore has a nickname. Also an athlete that connotes horror movies.
Oh, I think we talked about Frank Gore on Halloween.
You're right. We are bouncing around, and I love it, because that's what stupidity is, just two guys bouncing around. I mean, seriously, Frank Gore, does he have a nickname? Oh, I'm checking right now. I don't think he has a nickname.
I don't think so either. I think we would have known about it.
Hold on, Frank Gore nickname. Google's getting very tricky with how they do all this stuff. Just give me the nickname, all right? Frank Gore nickname. Does he have one?
I think they put nicknames on Pro Football Reference.
The Inconvenient Truth.
It's a bit wordy. Frank Gore, Al Gore. I mean, I get the joke.
Yeah, a bit wordy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a fantasy football team name, not so much a nickname.
Right. Like you would call me like, hey, Stigatz, right? Like that's a nickname, or Gots or whatever like that. Like who was screaming out, hey, the Inconvenient Truth?
I know.
Frank Gore, no one is running slower to get.
There it is. 3 yards at a time.
3 yards at a time. Franklin D. Roosevelt. How about that?
Yes. Yeah.
You would agree, right?
Yes. Yes. FDR.
We're almost getting, I think the Franks filled.
Frank Thomas, you did, right? Is that what got there? Yep. Okay. Yep.
Franks are filling up faster than the Johns. I mean,
Frank Zappa, you said that one already.
I did.
I think there are more options for Johns, so it's hard to kind of place them in a top 10. Franks, there's not as many.
Right. Frank Robinson would probably be in there.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Just because there's not a lot of Franks.
Mm-hmm.
And you said Frank Lloyd Wright.
I did.
Frank Gifford.
Yes.
Probably in there because there's not a lot of Franks.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Viola, Sweet Music. Get him on.
Frank Isola.
The Iceman.
There it is. That reflex. Never fails. Speaking of the Iceman, he does a great Francesa. And I got to be honest, the interview you're about to hear, Evan Cohen does a better Mad Dog than you, and I wasn't going to tell you that when I was sitting right next to you. I'll tell you when I got a 1,000-mile buffer.
Appreciate it. Thanks. I know. I felt it. I felt ashamed, and I felt you feeling it.
So, oh, yeah.
Yes. Frank Caliendo, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Frank.
He might be in there.
Yeah.
Seriously, there's not a lot of Franks. You were right. Listen, Evan Cohen's very talented. He does the morning show again, Mad Dog Radio. He's a friend of mine. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. I was his camp counselor, and you'll hear parts of that discussion. But Stanzik is right. Audience, listen very closely here, because he will do a Mike and the Mad Dog. In fact, he did both Mike and Chris, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And they're both excellent. I think his Russo is a little better.
So you think his Russo is better than my Russo?
That's true.
And my Russo is very limited, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like his Francesa was better than Isola's Francesa?
I would say Cohen's is better.
You would say Cohen is better than both me and Isola.
I'd say I'd rather hear Cohen talking to himself as Mike and the Mad Dog than you and Frank.
So are you suggesting that the next time, and I'm okay with this, but are you suggesting next time that we do the Mike and Chris bit that we just have Evan Cohen do it and not me and Isola?
Less work for us.
Less work for us. And let me tell you, no one will be happier about this than the Iceman. Guy hates when I text him.
We're freezing him out.
No, he's going to be happy. This is not a bad day for him.
Totally missed the joke. Iceman freezing him out.
Oh, shit. Stupidity. Here's how it going. Stupidity! Let's take a minute here for ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/stupod. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 to 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, you are welcome. Our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. That is ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod, StuPod. ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod, ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Stupidity!
All right, here we go with a SiriusXM, does mornings with Babs. Babs. Babs is me. That's what I've realized. Babs is me. I am Babs, right? Is that done by design, right?
I would say the only difference is he has no aspirations. And I still know, I've known you.
He's
long
fine time. Being Babs his entire
yeah,
life.
Yeah, yeah. You're secretly still. Do we need the Dan guy?
Dan who?
Like, I feel like that's still secretly you. He has no interest. His dream in life is to be like Turtle.
Right.
Like, he has never any interest in being Vinny from Entourage.
Right.
Just Turtle.
Right.
Where, like, you still want to be Vinny.
Of course I still want to be Vinny.
And in your head, you are Vinny.
Yeah.
And so then what?
No, Dan does this weird mind trick where he's convinced me I am Vinny in the show, even though I know I'm not. So it's funny how it works.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you are, but you're not. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I am, but I.
That is interesting.
That's a nice way of putting it. You're right.
No, but you are because you are the main star.
Right.
But he enables you being the main star.
Correct.
Which is the same thing with Babs.
Yes.
But the difference is, and I'm going to knock Babs just so we can play this back on our show.
Good.
Steady
play.
Training well.
I mean, I've been going with this guy, man.
So the difference is, you could do and have done the show without Dan. It's a different show, and
yes.
I'm not saying better or worse,
right.
But obviously more than capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
There was one time, I think because of the birth of one of my kids, he did the show without me, where then they made a rule, he will never be allowed to do the show without me again, which he was thrilled. It's like, good. So, like, if I take off.
So if you're off, Babs is off now?
Yeah, so, like, I'll put in a request. So you should try this.
Okay.
So I'll put in like a request with SiriusXM, like, hey, I'm going to something with my other job with Good Karma Brands with all the ESPN affiliates
right.
in Wisconsin where I went to school. He'll then put in the same request, I'm going to Wisconsin. He's not going to Wisconsin, and he takes the exact same days off. So when Dan gets married, it's actually a bad job by you, even though you are married. You should have taken off for getting married.
Right. No, but here's the thing with
me. Why wouldn't you do that?
No, but here's the difference. The days I want to take off are when Dan is there.
That's a good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way.
Are you kidding me? I want those opportunities when he's not there.
Good point.
Because, again, I still want to be the guy, you know? Evan Cohen and I have a very long history, Stanzik. Are you aware of this?
That's what I've been told.
By the way, Evan, I'm telling you, because I'm driving in the morning, I'm always switching back Golic and Wingo, okay? And I switch back between Evan and Babs on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio. And the reason I do it, twofold. Evan's show with Babs, wildly entertaining. Golic and Wingo, entertaining, Junior too. They give me what I need to be prepared for our show.
Yes,
right,
yes,
to have
yes.
some clue of what's happening. I listen to those guys just to laugh. It like sounds like our show a little bit.
Right. So I would say that in the typical Stugatz form. So let's just.
I covered all my bases, by the way.
No, right. Here's,
I knew what you were doing.
Yeah. So here's how I'm going to break
it Fox down. Executive. I was on a little air show, too, somewhere around here.
I love SiriusXM FC. I'm a huge soccer guy. Mike Ryan and I listen all the time if the program director for that was here. Here's what it is. In order to steal the proper stuff for your show, you could steal Golic and Wingo sports takes and maybe some of our bits.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yes. And listen, don't
That's how you do it.
Don't kid yourself. I've stolen some of your sports takes, too.
Well, I appreciate it, I guess.
No, but you guys have fun, man. You really do. You have you know what, Evan? You have found, and we'll get to our history here in a second. You guys have really stumbled upon a nice mix, which I love, right? Listen, you and I grew up in the same area. It was New York, it was WFAN, it was sports, hardcore sports.
And Howard.
But we found two guys perfect. You've been able to do kind of what Dan and I set out to do,
right.
Which was merge a little bit. No one can be as good as Howard. He's the greatest to ever do this, right?
Yep.
But to take little elements of a show like Howard's or Imus or whatever and shows like Mike and the Mad Dog and kind of merge them together where you have sports and entertainment.
100%.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, we're making fun, like you're saying, you're Babs and Babs is you. But in many ways, you and I are similar because I will say this, and I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like you and I set out to be Mike and the Mad Dog and realized we can't be, we won't be, and actually, I don't even know that we want to be.
Correct.
While still having the idolization of them.
Yes.
And then we both come to South Florida, and you realize the last thing on planet Earth you could do in South Florida is a hardcore sports show.
Can't do it.
Nobody gives a crap. I used to have a beat reporter in West Palm covering the Marlins. non-title seasons.
Right.
Because in my head, I'm like, well, Mike and the Mad Dog put on Ed Coleman and Sweeney Murray every day.
And that's the way
to do it. Yeah, so now I'm breaking down, like, Dan Uggla's on-base percentage. Who cares? I mean, give me a break.
A little pop, though. A little pop in the bat.
No, but he's right. But in South Florida,
you did that, too.
I realized it early on. But Sanzik, we grew up, I'm telling you, this show was so unique, and it's the only market, maybe Chicago, maybe Boston, where in the middle of your show, you're calling in and Sweeney Murdy's calling in with a 20-minute dreadful Yankee report.
Yeah.
And we're all glued to our radio.
Right, exactly right.
It's crazy.
Like, I cannot. Okay, we're back. I don't understand Knobloch. Mike, I never liked him. Never did. I never liked Knobloch. I always thought he should be lower in the lineup. You know, Ricky Ledet, I happen to like. Not Knobloch.
You got to stress the Ledet there.
I actually, as a matter of fact, I knew Shane Spencer for a long time.
Wow, we've gone to a whole new level. Where every guy we could do, I could do Doggy.
Yeah.
And we have Isola do Francesa. He can do both.
Doesn't need anybody.
I know. Go, keep going.
I'm done. I
want to throw out like a current sports topic.
No, I'll try to do it with your show. Okay, let me see if I can do this.
You're going to break down our show. Hold on. Okay. This is Evan Cohen, Sirius XM. Okay. Evan Cohen, Babs. Great show. Morning show. He is going to break down our show as both Mike and the Mad Dog. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Listen, do I need Roy bouncing around with the Panthers? Nobody cares. Roy, stop with the dopey Panthers.
Okay, it's funny, my dog. I actually said it first to Mike Ryan. This whole Chelsea scenario. I dated a girl named Chelsea a long, long time ago. Okay, a long time ago. Not recently.
I knew her, as a matter of fact. She grew up in Long Island with me. But Roy with the Panthers, gee whiz. I mean, come on. Hey, it's not Eddie Belfort, please.
The gee whiz is a staple. You just got to find, I tell Stan the whole time, you just got to find the right word, the doggy words.
Yeah. And Ledet. You know what? I've never used Ledet. I'm going to start, Ledet is a perfect word. I got to start working Ricky Ledet in the mix.
It's got to be a top five word for doggy. It is.
Oh,
doggy.
Really? I didn't know that.
Ricky Ledet.
And Mike always has to be, okay, we're back. And then I knew that person. I knew him before.
Right.
You know, I knew John Wiener. Okay. I knew when he was John Penis. Before he was John Wiener.
You actually
can I say that here?
You knew me. Yeah, of course you can.
Come on.
Listen, name the Bobby. Please. You actually knew me when I was John.
He still called you John. I was calling him before. I'm like, funny. It's always weird when someone knows you as John.
Yes, yes. I was his camp counselor. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh, God.
So going back to that, just because I'm fascinated.
And who is this Chris Cody guy? Now, is he related to Greg?
So that's the way when we started 790, I was programming the same way, by the way.
Right.
I was trying to make it sound like WFAN.
Well,
I
wanted hired, to feel like Sid and, yeah, but didn't you learn?
Yeah, but even like the jingles and all the stuff, and then going like, you know, going live reports to Josh Freeman at Morrow's
terrible.
For something that four
live report. Well, there's a lot of people in the media room eating hot dogs with mayonnaise.
How early on did you realize we were in a horrible sports market? It's not that it's horrible, it's just different. It's just different. It's just, there's so many transplants, people from different areas, and there's, no one cares.
Right.
It's certainly not about baseball.
Well, that's the thing. So this week, Babs is here, and he had, I don't know when the last time he was in Miami, and like the thing that he's been doing a bunch of man on the street stuff, he's been naked on the beach and all this kind
of
stuff.
Of course.
And he's like, I realize.
Because he's me.
Right. And he's like, I realize. You know, nobody cares about any of the bits that I'm doing. Nobody's affected by this. He's in a Speedo. There's 10 other guys in a Speedo. It's not abnormal.
Right.
So my whole bit to him was he should have gone on the beach in full-fledged winter gear and pretended it was freezing. Turtleneck, winter hat, and a coat. Going on the beach with the bathing suit is what everybody else does.
Right.
You need to go on there in the winter gear.
Does it bother you at all? Like, you can give a brilliant sports take, just well thought out, nuanced. I mean, you just stick the landing, and Babs will have a line either somewhere within that take or right after the take, and no one will remember a thing you said.
That's right.
It will just be Babs. Does that bother you?
No.
Because it doesn't bother Danny. He loves
it.
Yeah.
It used to.
Right.
Like before him. Before I was lucky enough to have him, it used to, because it would all be about how much I know and all that kind of stuff. I've seen you do a million interviews here. Like, I've done a couple where, like, somebody asked me today, it's like, what do you think about the Niners' pass rush against Mahomes? So I'm like, I don't know. I don't think about the Niners' pass rush against Mahomes. What do I think about it? Nothing. I never think about the Niners' pass rush. I forgot who was even in the Super Bowl. Like, I'm worried about the Heat. That I am worried about, yes. And that's about it. Yes. But, I mean, who cares? The Niners pass rush. Oh, God.
I know, but that stuff, listen, growing up, that stuff, Mike and Chris put 4 hours on it.
No, that actually would make sense. They would spend 4 hours, and this is why they're brilliant, and understanding their market is like the parking at Yankee Stadium.
Yes.
Right? And like the West Side Highway for the Jets Stadium.
5 hours of phone calls on it.
Jam-packed. Like not one moment. Stanley, you're laughing.
Yes,
like,
I know.
Not Stanley, one second of an open line.
Yeah. You're laughing. The number one show in the biggest market in America. Doing it about that.
About a parking lot.
About a parking lot or a bunt in the third inning of game 84 of the regular season in July.
Oh, I remember that game. It was against the Pirates.
Terrible job, Mike.
His memory's ridiculous. Though.
Doggies.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So listen, it's interesting because you grow up, you idolize them like most of us growing up. In that area. Now you work for him. Same lineup. You're nice enough to get him on the podcast this week. I have you booking guests. That's amazing.
Listen, I'm no idiot. I know why I'm on. Put me on to get dog. This one stands and forgot to tape. Oops. John blames you. It never runs. But now I've done it, Mike and Chris, so maybe we'll take a couple of pieces of it, play it on the show, but not the podcast.
You've learned the business well.
Evan, don't explain the secret sauce, please.
Well, nobody's going to hear this anyway.
Yeah, that was on the pee-pee on the girl. You just ripped it wide open. That was it. No, this is going to air because you've been great. You've been great. Seriously, you've been fantastic, and I enjoy talking to you. But with Doggy, isn't that like, dude, that's so cool.
Yeah.
For you, that has to be so cool working on his station.
For sure.
Being a part of his lineup and a big part of his lineup.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why. Like, it's hit me recently, and I'm not trying to get all, like, sappy or anything. But one of the things with Kobe, that obviously the tragedy, but I always think about now, like, the approval he got from MJ and how much that meant from him.
Yes.
And trust me, I'm not comparing myself to anybody good. What I'm saying is when anyone in life gets approval from their idol growing up.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yes.
I never thought about it that way.
He knighted you.
I guess in some ways.
Yes.
And I'm not, he's not like still my idol because I get, it's like weird. Like, that's like saying if you grew up here that Dan was your idol, but you work with, like, Dan's not your idol, a professional idol anymore, right?
No.
But I'm sure many people on your show probably grew up listening to you guys and now they look at it differently, right?
Yes, yeah.
But he's such a wonderful, caring, nice guy. Like, he's the guy that sends the baby gift. This part's getting cut out, by the way, clearly. He's the guy that sends the baby gift.
No, this part is not getting cut out.
Oh, really? Somebody's mouth breathing, though. I don't know who it is. I thought it was me for a second.
It wasn't me.
It's got to be Evan.
Definitely wasn't me.
It's me?
Yeah, man. I don't know.
Now I'm going to hold my breath the entire time.
Oh, it's that Stugatz. Was it's Stugatz.
It was me. It was lying.
We'll keep that part in.
I knew it was me the entire time. We're giving this whole thing in.
Wait, you knew it
Why
was you?
Why would he take any part out?
Wait a second. You knew it was you.
Perhaps.
And blame me.
Yeah, I did. That's what I do. I mean, how about that?
That's a good job out of you.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
It's surreal that, you know, he just took a trip to Madison, Wisconsin, where I went to college.
Right.
And he brought his son. And he texted me, like, randomly. Like, no, like, unsolicited one night. Hey, best spot for breakfast, best spot for dinner. And I respond immediately, not thinking of anything of it. And then I'm, like, looking at my phone. And I'm like, wait, Chris Russo? Like, it kind of is surreal at that
Crazy.
Point.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's weird. And you and I have, like, a lot of similarities in terms of our existence from New York. Come here, start things, business, on air. And we both now, I don't know if I could say this. Yeah, I can say this. Have now found another kind of mentor in Dan Patrick. And it's the same kind of thing. Because he's, like, looking out for both of us and wonderful to both of us. And that part is still surreal. Like, I'm young enough where it's still surreal for me.
It's for me, it was always, when I started out, WFAN or ESPN.
Right.
To one of those two places. And I arrived here. So I was telling someone the other day, actually someone on your West Palm Beach station, that walking through the set of Baseball Tonight, that has meaning to me. Like, I care about that.
Right.
Like, that was a big day for me. Being on the set of First Take, the one time I got to do a show for WFAN, was a big deal to me. Being able to talk to Chris Berman, like, all these
Wait,
kind
go
of
back,
people.
Go back to this. So, I want to just walk through. I don't mean to flip it around here. Tell me how your first ESPN TV thing happened, non-Levitard, and how your first FAN thing happened.
FAN happened. They gave me, like, an audition show. It was Sunday. Tiger just won the PGA. And
so you remember, so if somebody remembers nothing, you remember everything.
I remember that day. Right. Isn't that crazy?
No. Right? No, it's not.
It's not, right?
Because if anybody grew up how we grew up, it's not.
So I'm sitting in Mike's chair. Okay. I'm sitting in the chair. And the lines,
power chair?
Here's the power chair. It was just me. I mean, I had a choice. I had Mad Dog chair or Francesa chair. I remember the producer saying, you chose Mike's chair. I'm like, it's the power chair. It's the power chair. But here's the beautiful thing about that station. They don't care who they're talking to. Every line was lit up. They didn't know me from a hole in the wall.
Right.
Every line was lit up.
4 minutes before I even took. They didn't know who was coming up next. They didn't care who was coming up next. And Tiger just won the PGA. And every call was about the Mets.
Oh my god!
And so I remember. Yeah.
Why is Jen? Let's go to Doris in Regal Park.
Hi, John. Why is Jeremy Burnett still on the line? I'll hang up and listen.
There's so many subtle nuances to that station, man. Just the callers, all the sound, the jingle. You remember the jingles?
Of course, all of it.
Yeah. So I remember that day. It was great. And then the first day that I had an opportunity to do First Take at ESPN. I did it with Sedano, actually. And I just remember sitting in the boardroom having, you know, the big discussion before and, you know.
Were you nervous?
I wasn't really that nervous, to be honest with you.
Well, it's the first time you prepped for anything, so.
Yeah, it must have felt weird. I had Chuck Saltor there with me at like 6 in the morning making sure I was prepared for everything, okay? I wasn't really nervous. I think the reason I wasn't, for me, okay, I had done some TV before I did that, so I wasn't nervous. The transition from radio to TV, I think, is an easy one.
I was
the transition from TV to radio, not so easy. I mean, TV, you're off a prompter. Radio, we've been ad-libbing for our entire lives, so it's just like, okay, I'm just going to have a camera
in my face now. Do you think people get that? Because you're so right. But, like, do you think, like, people understand that what you and Dan do and your entire team is, like, I'm going to be, like, rude about this, but whatever, is way harder than what people on TV do?
No, I don't think they realize it.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize just how hard, I'm not sitting here saying that we're curing cancer. We're not. We're certainly not. But radio's hard.
Yeah.
It's 3 hours, man, and it's 4 hours in your case, 3 hours in mine. It's hard. TV are, you know, it's prompter. It's 2 minutes. It's get the hell out. You got to fill 3-4 hours, man.
Prompter 2 minutes and get the hell out. John's life and other places, too. Yes. Anyway.
Hey, hey-oh! You give me way too much credit, by the way.
I was just saying, because I'm half that. Wait, so I did West Palm TV as an anchor for 2 years, sports anchor. There was one night where at the end of the news, they're like, oh, my God, the video's down. The news anchors are flipping, right? 2 minutes. We have 2 minutes left. I was like, are you kidding? Just put my mic on.
Yeah, I got this.
Right.
Like two
total minutes.
Yes.
And they were flipping out. Think about that. We do 3 and 4. I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. But you're speaking in such.
I know.
Your personality can't come out. It's hard. Like, I was talking to Diana Rossini about this. She has grown to love podcasting, radio. Because she's on the NFL sideline, she's sitting at the right, because there's a personality. So
she should be on ESPN radio.
She should.
Working on it.
We're working on it. But she's fighting this thing with her NFL credibility, right? And I understand it. Her credibility means a lot to her.
Why?
But because
you put the work in.
You have
all the connections, the relationships you build. And
so no, but Evan, what I've been trying to tell is you can have both. You could do that, and you could, because you have this great personality, you could do your sideline reporting and you could do this and be great at both. And this is not going to ruin your credibility there at the NFL.
No.
And I think she has seen that because
Dan wears costumes. Tony and Mike wear costumes.
I know, but they're also, I mean, I think probably in her mind, she thinks, well, Dan's well established at this point, so we could do. Your larger point is correct.
Yeah.
Like, we've tried to work with her and teach her, but what she likes so much about this.
Now you're her professor.
I am. Yes, I'm her mentor.
Mr. Miyagi here. This is Scugat's School of Radio.
Yeah, I don't know.
Broadcasting.
But I've told her, like, she gets very frustrated. I got a 45-second window. I can't. What can you do? You got to deliver the news.
Right.
Then she did a radio show with me. She's like, oh, I got 3 hours.
Right.
All of a sudden, she's talking like her mom, taking phone calls in a deep Jersey accent, dishing out stories.
Well, that's talking like your mom's the best thing. I want your opinion on something. I've been debating this. My mom is like a crazy, over-the-top Jewish mother. Every single time she comes on with us, people love it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you put her on once a week?
Would I put your mom on
not
once
with
a
you,
week?
I'm going
to put her on Stupidity. Let's get her on. You're that good. Let's go.
I know, John. I know his mother.
Stand to get her. I would put her on once a week. Yes, I would. If she's good, if she's enjoying it, if you're enjoying it, if the content is good and it's a way to share some of this with your family,
I
told Stanzik when we set up this podcast, I wanted to share some of it with my family. That lasted exactly 2 weeks with my wife. Okay? But my dad comes on occasionally and my mom gets involved every now and then. And it feels good for me to be able to share this with them because I think my dad would be doing this if they had sports radio back when he was growing up as a kid.
Where did your dad grow up?
He grew up in New York. He grew up in Westchester.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Like Mount Vernon area.
Got it.
So, yeah, I think why not bring mom on once a week?
No, I think we should.
I think either you'll be the first one to realize there's law of diminishing returns or you're going to be the last one. So either, right away, you're going to be like, we got to stop.
No, but you got to trust your producer there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If he tells you it's not working anymore, it's not working. How about Babs's mom?
We've had her on. What he does is he records his parents without them knowing and then puts it on the radio.
That's excellent.
And he has some of our listeners do pranks for us.
Right.
So he's had them call her, like one of them is Dr. Alan Pornsack.
Oh, no.
Is Babs wired correctly, dude?
Yes.
Is he going to be okay?
I mean, but this is the stuff we could do on Sirius that probably – I don't see Dr. Alan Pornsack making an appearance on ESPN Radio.
Well, you never know. Levitar with his age.
I was going to say, you had one pretty recently.
I know Doc Gooden. Is he related to Alan?
Wait, so does mom enjoy it?
Yes, loves it.
Okay, so
over the top ridiculous.
But you got to be careful here because she starts enjoying it too much, and then the producer comes in and says,
"It's enough.
This has run its course." And then you're in a box. Then you have to have Babs call her, tell her it's over.
Here's the question, okay? If she comes on with me, does that count as my phone call, like for the week? Do I have to call her otherwise?
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
That's it.
That is a heady fight. Two birds, one stone, my friend.
And her nickname happens to be Bird. Well done.
That is amazing. Stanzik, I'm sure you're I was Evan's camp counselor.
I heard. Yeah. How old were you when this was happening?
I want to say.
Stu, how old were you?
I was in like the 10, 11, 12 range. I want to say maybe a little bit younger.
I was probably 20. So it's nearing the end of college. Out of college, 24, somewhere in that range, 25. I mean, how old are you right now?
39.
All right, 39. I'm 47, so 8 years. So, yeah, I was probably 22-ish. You were 15.
15?
Yeah. Well, that was your last year you were 15.
Right.
Right, because you went all the way through senior year.
Yeah, went all the way.
So I started there when you were 13, 14. So I was there for three summers.
You were there for three summers. And where? What bunks were you in?
This means
a lot to America.
Yeah.
Roy's dying to hear this.
No, but I'm certain. Was I ever directly your counselor?
No, you were yes, you were my counselor, but not my bunk counselor.
Not your bunk.
You guys weren't staying in the same cabin?
No.
So in our camp, there's a mainland and an island. It's actually genius, Stanzik. It's a genius business plan because you spend all these years on the mainland looking over at this island.
You're so right.
The lights are on.
I never thought about it that way.
It is. They're up till all hours of the night,
which not really is like 9 o'clock.
Right, it's like 9 o'clock, but they're still playing basketball, and you're going to sleep. And you just you didn't know this was a sales brand of the Sobels, did you?
No, this is.
And
brilliant.
You're just gazing as a kid at the island.
That's the dream.
And you
one
have
day you
to
get to the island. Yeah.
You have to stay long enough to get to the island. It takes like 8 summers to get to the island. I mean, and once you get to the island, there's this big log cabin, and you can't get there until the final year. So they rope you in for another 3 years. It's unbelievable.
Wait, man. And so by the way, 8 summers means, what do you want to say, 64,000?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
At least.
That was that.
That's day camp now.
Exactly right. All right, so I don't remember the exact part. It was like I started.
I have to stand up because I'm going to tell you why I'm standing up. Okay. Do you have anything that would resemble a lacrosse stick? anything that would resemble a lacrosse stick? So, okay, for the people listening on a podcast. All right, so I have a straw. Thank you, Pete. So I have a straw.
Is that
so
good
John,
enough for you?
I mean, so John would walk around. He would have his legs spread. Okay, we need a play-by-play guy.
Oh God! Here.
Hey, is Iron Eagle here? So he'd have his legs spread. He'd have the old like STX lacrosse shorts.
Yes.
Okay. He'd have like this string hanging down, totally free balling. Looking back on it, so obvious that he was free balling.
Of course. I
mean, he'd wear this old T-shirt. He had a little bit of a belly then.
Right now.
Right. He had a little bit of a belly then, and John
still
would walk around the lacrosse stick. The butt of the lacrosse stick would be underneath his belly, and he would just stand there like this, and like would rest his belly on
picking
the lacrosse stick. And I don't remember you moving. He would just stand there like that. But he was friends, to his credit. There was like a whole cool group of counselors.
Yeah.
He was friends with all these cool group of counselors. My bunk, he definitely had a crush on a couple of these kids because my bunk was like I don't mean like that. Well, I don't know.
Thanks for cleaning that up.
Yeah. So my bunk was like an all-time athletic bunk. We had a guy that played soccer at Duke. We had a guy that played lacrosse at Johns Hopkins.
Adam Doniger.
Like ridiculous.
Scott Maslin, soccer at Duke.
So Maslin is my best – my mom's best friend is his mom, and that's how I got to know. Yep. So these are ridiculous athletes. So he would always gravitate towards them. So looking back on it, knowing you now – I realized what you were trying to do. They were your original Levitards.
Yeah.
They were the people you were trying to, like, hey, can I be your agent?
Yes.
I rode
Maslow's coattails.
He really did. And then, like, you know, when I first reconnected with him, when I first moved to Florida, he would always be like, hey, I'm meeting up with this guy, I'm meeting up with that guy. I'm like, why are you still meeting up with them?
Right.
There's no money to be made off of them at that point. But he was the guy that, like, was always the hanger-oner to, and I don't mean that in a bad way, to, like, the cool group.
But the younger kids.
Yeah, the younger kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
I mean, listen, I wasn't going to hang out with Ben and Josh Wander.
Wow.
Let's scrub that.
Wow.
I'm actually friends with Josh.
Don't they live down here?
Yes. I'm actually friends with Josh Wander.
Wow. What a reference.
Unnecessary shot.
A reference that, like, eight people in America get.
I don't even know that they get that.
And I was their counselor, by the way. I was their actual counselor, so, the Wanders.
I also remember, like, did you dip a bunch?
I dipped back then. I was like, listen, we were at camp on an island.
I know, but dipping with, like, 10-year-olds is an interesting move.
No, I don't think it was dipping with 10-year-olds. I think the other counselors, so keep in mind, I am this Northeast Jew, former camper. They don't really have, I was the only counselor that was like that.
Right.
Because they don't really have, that camp doesn't have former campers back as counselors. They made an exception for me because I was that good when I was there, okay?
Were you on the rock?
I'm not on the rock. I Sachem Koo and best athlete, okay? Sachem Koo on the mainland.
You're not on the rock.
But I'm not on the rock. And Rob, Scott Bruckner.
I was on the rock.
I got Rob. Hey, you got all-around camper, Bruckner. And athletic camp. Why is all-around camper going on the rock and not best athlete going on the rock? That's a joke. I complained to Bart about that for years.
Wait a minute. Let's try to break this down for a second. So the rock is this place where, like, they paint the name. Stanzix is so bored.
But summer camp kids are going to love this.
Yeah.
Great concept. So, Stanzix, hold on. Let me just explain to you. Yeah. There is a rock that lives forever. It's a massive rock. You went all-around camper.
Like a boulder more than a rock.
Yes, exactly.
Put your name on it like it's a Stanley Cup. I understand where we're going.
It's right next to the candy store. They have a thing called Candy Sale there where you're supposed to write a letter to your parents. You get a piece of candy. I would just give a blank envelope. Get Charleston Chew. So the rock's right next to it, and your name lives there forever. So,
right. So they would have. So you're saying the biggest honor at this camp you could get in your mind is best athlete.
Yeah, it's an athletic camp. Yes,
but there were other things. Like, you have to be a good person.
What do you mean?
Disqualified before he shows up.
So athletic. Wait, now let's point out. So what you're actually complaining about is that they're rewarded being a good person.
Yes. Yes.
All right, we can leave it at that. Yes. Wait, but I'm going to tell you the best part about the reconnection. Because I remember this vividly. So all of a sudden, it's probably 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
And I do a remote for our station in West Palm, ESPN 106.3. And I do a remote outside the AAA for a Heat game. And I see a guy from the distance. And I'm like, I know that guy. And he walks closer. And I'm like, that's John Wiener from Winnockey. And I start talking to him. And I realize, okay, it is him. We reconnect, and then the next time I hear from him is when he gets Sedano fired and he takes over Sedano's show. He bought Sedano's show. This is not a joke. He literally figured out a way.
I gave him a bad time slot is what I did.
No, he figured out a way to his brilliance or stupidity, however you want to look at it. He figured out a way where Sedano was on an afternoon drive. He bought the time slot.
9:40 wins.
Yes. Sedano had to, like, Sedano called, and I became very good friends with George. He calls me one day. He's like, well, I don't have that time slot anymore. I'm like, why? He goes, well, John Wiener bought it. And I'm like, what do you mean he bought? Because I didn't understand what that meant.
That's how I roll.
Which was brilliant at the time, because then you pay like $5, and if you bring in 10, the plus 5 is all yours.
Right. Listen, if Sedano was generating enough revenue and ratings, he would have got the slot. I mean, the ratings are fine. It was the revenue, but it was 940 wins. They had no sales staff. That's why they took my money. They were like, oh, we don't have to sell anything. These guys are going to pay us for the time.
But then I remember multiple times, and I was there, never able to make it, where, like, you would still feel like a level of coolness when you would have some of these guys from camp come visit you here.
Yeah.
Who and why?
Not a level of coolness. Like, I'm not certain you're aware how much that bunk really meant to me.
I'm like, clearly not.
All you guys, seriously. Like, I still talk to Maslin. I disconnected with Doniger. I obviously still talk to you.
Right.
That bunk was a fun bunk, man. It reminded me of my bunk when I was there. So it was like, it's not a cool thing. I'm actually genuinely
nostalgic.
Interested. Yeah.
You're a lot more nostalgic than I realized.
Well, I'm getting older, about 47. Like, you'll see. You'll get there. Trust me. Okay. You have a midlife crisis. You have all that good stuff. It's coming. Trust me.
Is that kind of, now I'm going to really psychoanalyze. Do you feel a level of you're the counselor and you have a great bunk on Levitard? Because
I certainly
Roy
don't feel
and,
like the counselor.
No, but I'm saying, like, Roy, Mike, everybody, you're significantly younger than John, right?
Who,
Your entire
yeah.
team.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
But maybe, do you feel like it's a camp bunk? You're not the counselor, that's correct.
I feel... I'm trying to think if I ever had someone like Lebatard in any of my bunks. I guess in a way, yeah, certainly, especially with Chris and Billy. Yeah.
Now, who would you share a bunk bed with? I think this is a good bit. Lebatard show goes to Winawki.
I like this.
And stays in a bunk together.
Oh, the bunk bed. Bunk was
beds.
Bunk beds were important.
Can't get Dan out of South Florida though.
Yeah, well, yeah, and no, I'm not. I mean, Dan on top on the bunk bed, you're dead. Roy, who do you think I would share a? I probably Fat Chris. Yeah, Fat Chris, my kind of guy. You know,
yeah,
he'd be fun to share a bunk bed with. You know,
John's now into this. He's like, I think I'm going to take everybody to New Hampshire. This
I like
summer.
This. It's great. I'm serious.
You know, my wife went to Robindale.
Really?
And my sister went. Yeah, my sister.
I tried to get my daughters to go there. I didn't want nothing to do with it.
I heard it's not as good as it used to be.
I heard so they go to Banco Chanel. It's like a cult. You think our place is a cult? This is a real cult. It's like a real, this is a real living cult, man.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. So you're enjoying your week down here or what?
Yeah, whatever.
It's like whatever.
I mean, obviously I enjoy South Florida. Wait, I still have a house here, but.
Okay. But did you drive from West Palm down here?
Yes.
Okay. How'd you
bad
like that?
Bad move. Bad move.
You enjoyed my commute?
Bad move. 2 hours. I can't believe in 06, I was thinking about this. I did the back and forth without a hotel every day for 5 days.
Oh, man.
I remember you and I left one night together, like, hey, we'll get dinner. And then, of course, you never texted back.
Right.
But it's just like, I can't even fathom the drive, how bad this. Don't you? You have a far drive every day, don't you?
Every single day. It's, you know, it's like 2 hours on the way there. And listen, 1 o'clock on the way home is great. As long as I get out of there at 1 o'clock, I can be home.
So what time do you leave to get there? You're not there for the local hour.
I'm not there for the local hour. I probably leave my house. I mean, Roy will attest to this. There are It could be anywhere. No. But Roy has a similar drive. Roy doesn't have a similar drive, but Roy has been stuck in 2 hours of traffic on 95. You know, on a Wednesday morning, it's absolutely brutal. So here's where it gets really bad. It flows all the way down until the turnpike turns into 95.
Right.
And all roads, whoever constructed the roads down here in Miami, five different highways are flowing into 95.
Sure.
Right. And so you're sitting there for 45 minutes. And you want to blow your brains out, I mean, to be quite honest with you. But that's where I get all my show prep done.
Listen to your show. Get him through those drives.
I need to sit in your traffic is what I need to do.
Yeah. All right. Everything else is good. You got New York, Mad Dog. I mean, you're big time, man. I'm proud of you.
I'm big time.
You are.
Not like you.
You got me doggy on the show. You're big time. Yeah.
Was this worth the 50 minutes or whatever it was just to get dog?
I got
to
tell you, yes.
Really?
Yes.
You could tell me no. I'd actually like it better if you told me no.
I wouldn't even care if I got dog at this point. This is how much I enjoyed this.
Did we set that up or no?
We're working on it, yeah.
Okay, but I'm
tax exchange.
Okay. But yeah. You and I have wanted to do this for a while anyway.
Yeah, so, no, I'm so here. I'm happy
to do it. Now we need to do more of it, okay?
Done.
We don't have to do it now because I'm exhausted Radio Row Super Bowl week.
You thought I was going to do another podcast right now?
Yeah. Stanzik knows I'll go for 3 hours right now.
You should do a day-night doubleheader. That's actually a great idea. Do a podcast with somebody in the morning and then again in the afternoon and see what you can come up with.
Asshole, you do that every day. You do a morning show and an afternoon
that's
show.
That's true.
You're calling me a Mike Hogg.
Yeah. I mean. That's true. And sometimes in between I do NBA radio too.
That I thought you out. I mean, listen, you grab every.
Do I need Roy texting Ed Jovanovski right now? Is that what I need?
You continue to grab every penny you can until they don't want you anymore, okay?
I'm trying.
Because in 20 years, they're going to kick your ass right out the door, okay?
5 years, I think.
All right, Evan, this was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stupidity!
All right, Stanzik, I enjoyed that thoroughly. That was during Super Bowl week. Listen, it was. I want to say this politely, and I want to say it the right way. He was simply a bridge to get us to Christopher Mad Dog Russo. I mean, but I think he knows that, okay?
Yeah, he knew that going in. I mean,
yes, he did. Yeah. But listen, I got a home and home with Mad Dog out of it, and that conversation was very, very good. You enjoyed that, right? Because you could tell that we have a long-standing relationship and that he and I know each other very well. We're from the same area. We grew up listening to Mike and the Mad Dog. My favorite part of that is when both of us realize Ricky Lede is such a great name, such a great Mad Dog word. Christopher Russo.
It's perfect.
Lede.
Yeah, there's a clear connection with you and Evan there. It's noticeable. You guys got a little into the weeds when you started naming people that went to this camp you guys both attended. It got a little chummy and weird, but whatever.
Well, that's what stupidity is, man. Yeah. It's like we achieve nothing. We accomplish nothing on this podcast, but people seem to enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Don't you think they'll enjoy? Listen, I have to think people are going to enjoy hearing me, you know, stories of me as a camp counselor, but also just having a friend on who I've known for a long time. Me as a camp counselor, is that everything you imagined? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have assumed that you'd be like selling candy from the back of your cabin or something like that. That wouldn't have surprised me.
I was. He just didn't know about it.
Yeah. And by candy, I don't mean candy.
Nose candy.
Hey, now.
What?
Whoa, scrub it.
Who said that? Get that out of there. Subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Our thanks to Evan Cohen, not for joining us on the podcast, but for getting Chris Russo on the podcast for us. Stupidity.